Welcome to a deep dive.
Yeah, into the world of Fragonard. Well, one painting in particular today, young girl reading. And you know, you might think, oh, it's just a portrait.
No.
But trust me, we've got x-rays, historical documents. This is going to be anything but simple.
It's amazing, actually, even for me. And I, you know, I look at this stuff all the time. What you find kind of lurking beneath the surface, even of a painting as seemingly straightforward as this one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And speaking of lurking beneath the surface,
yeah,
they x-rayed this thing. And, you know, museums do this all the time, right?
Right.
And they found another head. Like, what?
Yeah.
Not a ghostly apparition or anything, but like a whole other head position that's painted underneath.
Yeah.
Looking right out at her.
It's really wild. And they call it, in the art world, this is called pentimenti.
And it's basically like finding the artist's initial sketch.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine even a master like Fragonard is adjusting his composition as he goes.
So the question is why? Like, was the first head no good? Was it too intense, not dreamy enough for our girl lost in her book here?
Right. I mean, it's a great question. And honestly, we can only speculate. But I think maybe he wanted to emphasize her absorption in the book rather than a connection with us, the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, it changes things. It transforms it from a potential portrait into this sort of like secret moment. Like we're kind of like glimpsing her as she's, you know, enthralled in her book.
And we can't even see what she's reading. Like what's in this book? Is this scandalous poetry? Is this a grocery list? Like what was juicy back then?
Exactly. That hidden title. I mean, for me, it's such a clever hook.
Right.
And Fragonard did a number of these paintings that art historians call figures de fantaisie.
Okay.
Which basically translates to charming and informal snapshots of people.
Yeah.
He wasn't going for those really stiff formal portraits.
Yeah.
He was trying to catch a feeling.
Yeah.
You know.
And I've got to say, that dress. That lemon yellow,
yeah,
it's like it almost pops off the canvas. Even I want to like steal that look, and I'm all about like, you know, comfy sweaters and pants.
But that yellow is, it's iconic, and it screams Rococo period.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, okay.
Like think Marie Antoinette, think those lavish parties at Versailles.
Right,
like that's the world that Fragonard is capturing here.
Oh,
and it was all about luxury, pleasure, a little bit of extravagance, even while things, you know. France was in the midst of some pretty big social and political change during this time.
So it's not just a pretty dress. It's like a whole mood ring, a historical mood ring.
That's epic.
And this was during the reign of Louis the XV. So we're really getting a glimpse into like the world of the French aristocracy here.
Yeah. I mean, art, you know, one way to think about it is like, it's almost like a time capsule.
Mm-hmm.
Like it gives us this glimpse into the values and the aesthetics of a bygone era.
Totally. And this peek behind the curtain, it's even more interesting when you look at who owned this painting over the years. I mean, talk about a varied group.
Yeah. Well, for a while there, it belonged to Theodore Touffier, who was a very prominent French surgeon.
Oh, wow.
So you have to wonder, right? What's a scalpel-wielding doctor doing with a dreamy Fragonard?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe he just, like, you know, liked art.
Yeah, maybe.
A man of many tastes, this surgeon. But so who else owned it?
Well, eventually it makes its way across the Atlantic,
mm-hmm.
and it ends up in the hands of Alfred W. Erickson.
Okay.
Who was, you know, the marketing whiz.
Yeah.
Kind of the brains behind the whole McCann Erickson advertising agency.
Wait a minute. McCann Erickson, like the huge,
yeah.
like global
mm-hmm.
advertising.
The ad man.
Oh, my gosh. So young girl reading is like... got a little side hustle as like a muse for advertising.
Right.
That's a mess.
From the surgeon's salon
yeah.
to, you know, a Madison Avenue office. This painting has really gotten around.
It's like young girl reading is the one with all the stories. I want to hear her story.
I know, right? And it's here where Ilse Millenbruce enters the picture.
Oh, yeah. Ilse Millenbruce. Now, she wasn't she some kind of like socialite?
Well, she was a well-known socialite,
yeah.
but... more importantly, she was a big-time philanthropist, especially when it came to art.
Okay.
And she actually inherited a pretty amazing art collection from her father, Andrew Mellon.
Oh, okay.
Does that name ring a bell?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Mellon.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Exactly.
Talk about a legacy. So she donated Young Girl Reading.
She did, yeah. She donated it to the National Gallery of Art.
Amazing.
Which is where it is today. So after, after Andrew Mellon's death...
Mm.
You know, it came to Ilse and she gifted it.
Wow.
To the National Gallery.
So it's like been all over.
It really has.
From France to America. Wow.
Yeah.
Surgeons, advertising. It's amazing.
It's really, it really speaks volumes about, I think, the enduring power of Fragonard's work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we are centuries later, and we're still drawn to this simple scene, this, you know, this charming kind of quiet moment.
It is a beautiful painting.
It is. But we're captivated by it. You know,
yeah.
We're captivated by its charm, its mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And just like those x-rays that revealed that hidden depth, right?
Right.
I think the painting's journey through time really adds another layer to its story as well.
It really makes you think. Like every time you're in a museum looking at one of these paintings, it's like, you know, you look at it and you kind of move on, but there's a whole world behind it.
Right. There's a whole story there.
There's a whole story. Yeah.
And this, I mean, this deep dive into young girl reading, I think, is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
You know, remember that hidden head we talked about earlier?
I do.
That pentimento.
Yeah.
I think it's a good reminder that there's always more than meets the eye. And that's true whether we're talking about art or life itself, frankly.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, it really makes you want to, like, bring an x-ray gun to the museum. Kidding. Don't do that. But, oh, my gosh, I just want to, like, look for the secrets now.
Right. Well, and that's the beauty of art history, isn't it? It's like detective work in a way.
Totally.
You're piecing together these clues. You're uncovering these hidden layers. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you just have to embrace the mystery, too.
Yeah. And speaking of mystery, all those other figures, the fantasy that Fragonard did, those, like, quick, expressive paintings, you know? They're, like, little glimpses into, like, a feeling or a moment.
Yeah.
And they're a little bit mysterious, too, right?
They are. I mean, we've talked about this idea that, you know, they're very informal. They give us this glimpse into everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
But their exact purpose is still kind of a head-scratcher, even for art historians.
Right.
Like, were these studies for larger works? Were they just experiments with color, with brushwork?
Mm.
Or was Fragonard just, you know, letting loose and having fun?
Right.
Like, we don't really know.
Maybe it's a little bit of all of it.
Right.
Like, you know, you're in your studio and you're just like, all right, I'm going to play around today.
Yeah, exactly.
And just have some fun.
Yeah. I mean, and that's part of the magic of art, I think, is that, you know, we can analyze it.
Mm-hmm.
We can research it. We can debate it. But at the end of the day, there is this element of mystery that remains.
Totally.
And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I think that's part of what keeps us coming back, keeps us wanting to learn more.
It's like that feeling when you turn the page in a really good book and you're like, ooh, what's gonna happen next?
Yeah. And in a way, that's a pretty good place to wrap things up, I think. You know, just like the young girl reading lost in her book, we too can choose to get lost in the world of art, embrace the mystery, the beauty, the endless possibilities.
I love that. So next time you're at a museum and you're looking at a painting, take a moment, look a little closer. You might be surprised what you find. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into the world of Fragonard. We hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, keep exploring. Keep those brains buzzing.